Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
The longer we live in this world, the more that we understand that life brings with it problems and difficulties of all shapes and sizes. And some of those challenges just fall on us due to no fault of our own. We live in a fallen world under the grip of the enemy. Then there are other situations that we have caused ourselves by our own foolishness or our mistakes or our sin. In addition to that, we live in a world that is just full of uncertainty, isn't it? Full of instability, full of threats all around us that are just beyond our control, our ability to control. And finally, there is the certainty of death. Our lives are like water, says in 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 14. Water that is spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. And for many people, that is their greatest fear. The fear of what lies beyond the grave. So we can understand why many people live without any real peace. The question that we face is this. As those storms rage all around us and sometimes within us, how can we face these things every day of our life with a quiet, confident spirit? How can we live with a heart that is not overwhelmed by these things? Over the years, people from all different cultures have attempted a variety of things to achieve that kind of peace. They've searched within themselves. They've searched outside of themselves. They've searched everywhere they could think of, only to be disappointed in the end. And so they give up. Or they believe a lie. They talk themselves into believing it. And they just struggle to get through this life, making the best of what seems to be a hopeless or at least an uncertain situation, an uncertain future. But according to Jesus Christ, there is a way to have peace. He said it himself. He said that he is the only way to peace. Through him, through a relationship with him, we can have peace. And if that sounds a little narrow-minded, it is. But it is the truth, because Jesus Christ has said so. It's in Matthew 11:28 where Jesus himself invites us. In fact, he commands us to come to him. He says, come to me for salvation. Come with all of your questions. Come with all of your concerns. Come with all of your sin. And he promises to give us peace. He promises to give us rest. He promises to give us hope. He promises to give us a heart that is still and quiet before him. He promises to quiet our troubled heart. And you know, that was the situation that faced the disciples of Jesus on that night when he told them that he was about to leave them. He was about to leave this earth. And they were troubled. They had no peace. Their lives were about to be turned upside down. They had left their homes, their families, their occupations, their careers. They had given up everything for Jesus. And for 3 years, they followed him. And now 3 years later, John chapter 13, as they were celebrating the Passover together, Jesus tells them that within just a few hours, he would be gone. They would be unable to follow him. In fact, they weren't even sure where he was going. And then he told them that one of them, one from among the 12, would betray him, and then all of them would abandon him. And Peter, the leader of the group, he would deny that he even knew Jesus. Then Jesus said, I will be crucified. It will appear that evil has triumphed over me. And though he spoke of resurrection, he spoke of rising from the dead, he spoke of returning to heaven, that was not much comfort to the disciples because he would no longer be with them. None of this sounded any good to them. This is not what they expected to hear on that night. Everything just seemed to be falling apart. We can understand that, can't we? It's the way it goes in our lives. Sometimes doesn't it feel like everything is just falling apart? The disciples were upset. They were confused. So it might be helpful for us to understand the way that Jesus told them to approach this challenge, their challenge in their lives, so we can approach our challenges in the same way. So John chapter 14, verse 1, he said to them, let not your heart be troubled. Metaras estho human cardia, in Greek. Stop being stirred up like the waves of the sea that are being driven by the wind. Stop being so discouraged. Disturbed in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit. Don't allow confusion to rule your thinking. Because our God is not a God of confusion. Isn't that what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14? What does it say in that verse? He is a God of peace. And if in our situation we are confused, if we are full of fear, that is not of God. So don't allow the enemy to deceive you into thinking that there is no hope. Don't allow him to deceive you into believing that there is no recovery from your sin, from your situation, that it is hopeless. That's a deception of the enemy, a deception that he whispers in our ears, and he uses those around us to do it sometimes. The disciples were devastated, weren't they? They were discouraged that night. Shaken up. They were agitated. They were agitated just by what Jesus told them was about to happen to them. It hadn't even happened yet. And their spirit might have been willing, but like us, their flesh was weak. So rather than focus on himself, rather than focus on the suffering that he was about to endure for us, Jesus gives them a way to have a calm, quiet spirit. He gives us the answer for our fear. An answer that really works, even as the storms rage all around us. So he says to them, he tells them, just stop for a moment. Stop looking at the storm. Stop looking at your problems. Stop looking at yourselves. And he tells them to look up and believe in God. Pistoete. Maintain your trust in him. Maintain your hope in him. Don't we trust him for our salvation? Yes. So I wonder why it is so difficult for us to trust him with our lives. Why is it so difficult? Why don't we believe that he is able to guard us, that he is able to take care of us, that he is able to lead us safely home? That's a good question, isn't it? We even believe that the birds of the air trust him for everything, don't we? Well, I think the birds sometimes have more faith than we do. If we will not look to him for everything, just like the birds do, then we will never find peace. Our God is God. He is the God of the heavens, it says in Psalm 115, verse 3. And how long has he been there? Psalm 90, the psalmist says he has been there from everlasting to everlasting. He is God for all eternity, all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing, a holy and a righteous God of the universe, a consuming fire, he says in Hebrews chapter 12. And for those who will not believe that he exists, that he rules his universe by the word of his power, that he is a righteous and holy God, for those people, we are told in Psalm 53, God calls them fools. Why? Hebrews adds, Hebrews 11, he is a just and a merciful God. He is a God who is full of grace, who loves us with an everlasting love, and who will reveal himself to us if we will seek him with our whole heart. And though he is unseen, our God is in the heavens. He will reveal himself to those who seek him in spirit and in truth, and he will act on our behalf. Do we really believe that? Well, you know, we must believe that, because that is the starting point. That is the starting point for having peace in our lives. We must believe that God is on our side and he will act in faithfulness to who he is for us. And though you have never seen him, Jesus tells his disciples, you believe in him, don't you? Well, yes, of course we believe in God. Jesus says, though you have never seen him, you have seen me. And if you have seen me, he says in John 14:9, you have already seen the Father. You have seen God himself standing right before you, so believe also in me. Look to me for your peace. Be confident in me. Why? He says, because I am God. And even though from your perspective, things don't look very good right now, believe in me even though you don't understand what is going on. Just believe that all these things are unfolding according to the plan of God, according to his word, according to my word, Jesus says. Believe this. I died to save you. I died to pay for your sins. Have faith in the one who died for you. Have faith in your Savior. Have faith in your King. Be willing. Be willing to risk it all on me. Because because you believe me. Because you believe that my promises to you are true. Don't fear, little flock, Jesus said. Don't be shaken by the stress of your situation. Be anxious for nothing, he said in Philippians 4:6. All is well. It may not look it, but all the things that take place on this earth that trouble you so much and weigh you down, these things are all temporary. They're all passing away. Maybe we've identified the problem, huh? We set our sights. We set our thinking. We place our hope on things that are in this world. The things of this earth. No wonder we're so disappointed. It's like that man in the parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 12. This was a man who saw that he needed to build a bigger barn. Needed a bigger barn to accommodate the overflow of his grain. Remember him? He was busy. He had plans. He had big plans for himself. He had an agenda for his life. He thought he had it all figured out. And the Lord said to him, "You fool. You're so concerned about accumulating things for yourself that you have not considered the life to come. You have not considered your eternity. You don't know that your life is but a mere breath, and there's no guarantee that you will even take that next breath." And it says that very night, he died. God said, "This night you shall surely die. And then you will leave it all behind." So we need to adjust our thinking, don't we? Colossians 3:2 says we need to have God's perspective on life. Life is short. And everything around us comes to an end. But eternity? Eternity is forever. And so, we are to live with that in view, with eternity in view, with that kind of perspective, looking forward, looking ahead, looking up, looking to Christ, who sits at the right hand of power. Because Jesus said this in verse 2. "In my Father's house," oikia, in Greek, "in his household," in his home, where he lives, where he dwells. It's a place. He says it's a place beyond this earth. It's a place beyond the stars. It's a place. Revelation 21 says where there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. And Jesus says it is a place for you. For you who belong to me. Look up. Because in my Father's house in heaven, there are many polos, an abundance of dwelling places, mone, resting places. A place of peace. There is a place for you in heaven. If you know Christ, a place, he says, where you will find rest from your labor, a place where you will find rest from your difficulties here in this life. Many people confuse this earth with heaven. Jesus never promised that there would be peace here. That happens when we get home. And Jesus says, that is where I am going. I am going home. I am going home to heaven. That is my home, and my home will be your home if you belong to me. He says, and though I am leaving you now, we will be together again. Revelation 21:3 promises that, doesn't it? It says that we who know him will be with him for eternity in the glory of heaven with Christ. So we don't fear death, do we? Because if we die, death just opens the door to an eternity with him. Death just opens the way to be with him. They may put your body to death, Jesus said in Matthew 10:28. And that may happen. But he says they have no power over your soul. That belongs to me. So when we die, we wake up in the presence of Jesus Christ. We see him face to face. We wake up in heaven. That is the joy that is set before us. So we don't fear death. And if this were not so, Jesus said in verse 2, if this were not true, he said, I would have told you. I would have let you know. So don't doubt the truth of my words, he said. We say, I don't doubt that. Then don't live like you doubt it. For now I go, he says. Poru am I. I am leaving. Better translation. I am going on ahead of you. I'm not just leaving you. I'm going on ahead of you. To prepare, he says, etoi mazo, to make ready what? A place, topos, an opportunity. That's what the word means. It's not location, it's an opportunity. He says, I am giving you the opportunity to be with me. That's what I'm doing. You know, the reality for all of us is that we are all passing through this world, right? We're all traveling through time. And we are all on our way somewhere. We are either on our way to be with Jesus Christ, or we are on our way to be separated from him forever. It's one of the two. He has said, I have prepared the way. I have prepared the path so that you can be with me. And how has he done that? How has he prepared the way? How has he prepared the path? How has he given us the opportunity to be with him in heaven? Well, the fact is we've all violated God's law. We've violated his standards of behavior. We've all sinned against him. That's what the Bible says. So now justice must be served. God is a just and a righteous God. The soul that sins, Ezekiel 18:20 says, it shall die. That's not just physical death. That's a spiritual death. But why will you die, God says? Why will you go off into an eternity of punishment when I have offered you life? When I have offered you eternal life? I've offered it to you by the death of my son. He has paid for your sin. He has met the requirement of my law. He has prepared the way. He has cleared the path. He has cleared the way to heaven for you. The debt you owed has been paid by him. Now he's seated. Where? Where is Christ seated? He's at the right hand of God the Father, isn't he? In power, in glory, in heaven. He has been victorious over sin and death in the grave. So the question remains, why will you die when Christ offers you life? And Jesus says, if I go, verse 3, if I go to the cross for you, if I go to the grave, if I rise again from the dead and I return to heaven, if I do that, I do prepare a place for you. By giving my life for you, I have cleared the way to heaven. You've been bought with a price. You've been purchased by my blood. So you are mine forever, ever. I won't let anything happen to you. So don't be afraid. Don't despair in the circumstances of this life. You are mine. And he says, I myself will come again. Palinerkomai. I will leave heaven as I did before, and I will receive you to myself. Paralambano in Greek. I will take you along with me. I will take you out of this world. I will descend from heaven, and with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, you will meet me in the air. That where I am, he says in verse 3, there you may be also. And so it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, we shall always be with the Lord. So why should we fear? Why shouldn't we have peace? Jesus said in John 4:14-19, because I live, you shall live also. To his disciples, he says in verse 4, you know these things, oida. You're aware of them. For 3 years he had taught them these things. For you, he says, the path is clear, it's plain. You know the way. You know where I'm going. Hupago, you know where I'm leading. You know where I'm leading you. I lead, you follow. Thomas expressed what was probably on the minds of all of the disciples at that point. He said, we don't know. We don't understand. Might be able to identify with Thomas. We don't know all the time, do we? We don't understand all the time. All that Thomas knew, all that any of them knew, was that Jesus was going away and they didn't know how to find him. So Thomas spoke and he said to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where. We do not know to what place you are going. So how do we know? How can we know the way to get there? It all sounds impossible. All sounds incomprehensible. Then Jesus said to us, I am the way to God. I am the way to heaven. I am not just one of several ways. There is no other way. I am the only way. Writer in Proverbs told us, Proverbs chapter 14, that there is a way which seems right to a man, but in the end, it's the way of death. And that's the way that many people follow today. They follow their own way. But in the end, it will bring eternal ruin. It was Jesus who said, I am the only way to heaven. Do we believe that? Jesus said it. So Acts 4:12 says there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That sounds pretty clear, doesn't it? Jesus Christ said he is the only way to heaven. So we don't really need to look anywhere else, do we? We don't need to look at our religion. We don't need to look at our philosophies. We don't need to look at our church membership. Don't need to look at our opinions or what we like to call logic. We need to look at Christ. We need to believe him, and he says we will live. He says, I am the truth. These words that I have spoken are true. Everything that I say is completely accurate and is reliable. But not only do I speak the truth, he says, I am truth itself. I am the very essence of truth. In him, it says in Colossians 2:3, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. All of them. He knows it all. Why? Because he's God. Because he's God, he knows all things. He said, I am, verse 6, the life. Only I can give life. Only I can give true life. Only I can give life beyond this life. Spiritual life to those who are spiritually dead. Eternal life to those who are without hope. And why is that true? Why is it true that only Jesus Christ can give that kind of life? A lot of people name a lot of other names. They claim that they can give life. Why only Christ? Well, because life is only found in him. Why? Because he conquered death. He conquered the grave. Can anyone else say that? No. Now death is subject to him. He is the master of death. It is under his feet. See my hands, he said. See my feet. He said that in Luke 24:39 after his resurrection. He said, see the suffering. See the scars of the suffering that I endured. But now, he said, I am alive. And behold, he said in Revelation 1, I am alive forevermore. Only Jesus Christ can make that claim. So, he says in verse 6, no one can ever come to the Father. No one can ever come into the presence of God. No one can ever go to heaven. But, he says, through me, except through the Son. I have blazed the trail, he said. The way is clear. I've opened the door to eternal life for you. So stop living in fear. You who belong to me, stop doubting in me. Let go of your fears and cast them on me. Remember, I am with you always, and nothing can separate you from me. So take heart, children. You are mine, and you will be with me forever. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.